Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. All right, this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode number 210. It is the week of May 27th, 2015. I'd like to thank you for coming along and downloading the show. As always, I welcome any new listeners, and of course, thank all the returning listeners that came back. I know this is kind of, over the last few months, has turned into somewhat of a monthly podcast. And as I've said before, it's mainly a time thing, not from a lack or desire of wanting to produce the show. However, as I stated in episode 209, I've been having some motivational problems with running. And I think I have maybe found the answer to my problem, which I will get to here in the show. But the episode this week, this month, or this 2 weeks, or whatever you want to, whatever we consider it is going to be, is going to be on motivation, and I'm going to kind of start talking about a theory that my good friend Ryan gave to me through an email in the email bag section of the show, which is called the expectancy, I can't even pronounce it, expectancy theory. I guess if I could say it, I might be able to describe it. It's called expectancy theory. It's a theory from his that he learned about at business school. And I think the first thing I'll do is just get to his email, and that'll kind of set the tone for the at least the first part of the podcast. Hey, Dave, thanks for continuing to produce the podcast. I always laugh at your comment about relay races being the most fun activity you can do with other people with your clothes on. In the same vein, I consider your podcast the best way to stay connected with my fondness for Virginia without actually being there. Keep them coming. On a side note, if you're a regular listener of the show, or you might recall, Ryan is a former member of our, well, I guess he's still in it, our running team, running group, Team Incognito, and a couple years ago he moved to Canada with his wife, Rachel, so he now works up there. Anyway, his email continues, regarding motivation, I too have lacked it at times, whether in my training or in my daytime job. I found that a concept I learned in business school can really help explain why motivation can be missing. It's called expectancy theory. And he linked me to a internet entry, which I'm going to read. Got a whole bunch of papers here in my stack of stuff. Expectancy theory proposes that an individual will decide to behave or act in a certain way because they are motivated to select a specific behavior over other behaviors due to what they expect the result of that selected behavior will be. Wow. In essence, the motivation of the behavior selection is determined by the desirability of the outcome. However, at the core of the theory is the cognitive process of how an individual processes the different motivational elements. This is done before making the ultimate choice. The outcome is not the sole determining factor in making the decision of how to behave. Expectancy theory is about the mental processes regarding choice or choosing. It explains the processes that an individual undergoes to make choices. In the study of organizational behavior, expectancy theory is a motivational theory first proposed by Victor Vroom of the Yale School of Management. And he says, this theory emphasizes the needs for organizations to relate rewards directly to performance and to ensure that the rewards provided are those rewards deserved and wanted by the recipients. He goes on to say that he defines motivation as a process governing choices among alternative forms of voluntary activities, a process controlled by the individual. The individual makes choices based on the estimates of how well the expected results of a given behavior are going to match up with or eventually lead to the desired results. Motivation is a product of the individual's expectancy that a certain effort will lead to the intended performance, the instrumentality of this performance to achieving a certain result, and the desirability of this result for the individual known as valence. I've never heard of the word valence before, but I used to work in management in a previous job, and I do know a little bit about the reward system and how to reward employees, but let me get back to Ryan's email because he links this to marathon running, and that's really what was kind of just in time for me because the marathon training season is upon us, and I had a decision to make. So Ryan continues. It says that motivation requires the right combination of three key elements. Expectancy, if I try, will I reach my goals? Instrumentality, if I reach my goals, will I receive a reward? Valence, do I value the reward I am receiving? So valence refers to the values of the reward. And so Ryan says that he thinks it can apply well to running. He says, for example, let's say you are training for a marathon. One, expectancy. Perhaps you can start a training program, but you believe that your knees won't hold up to make it to the start line. Two, instrumentality. Even if you believe your body will make it through training in the race itself, perhaps you are discouraged by the fact that the event does not have a cool medal. Just an example. Three, valence. Even if you can finish the race and receive cool swag, perhaps that is not something you value. Maybe you instead valued a scenic race course, the opportunity to participate with friends, the ability to set a new PR, etc. So the point is, if you're lacking motivation, it's likely there's a gap in one of these areas. He writes, what do you think? Hope this helps you and or other listeners. So therein starts my thought process for this show. And Ryan, you got to be very careful when you ask me, what do you think? Because I'm definitely gonna say what I think. I think what has happened with me, I ran the 50 miler back in November, and after that I pretty much lost all motivation for long distance running, although I did have a running streak for the whole month of January, so pretty much for February, March, and April, and almost all of May, I've been a weekend runner doing, you know, 4 to 6 miles on the weekend and pretty much just that. There might have been some runs here and there. And I just was not keeping up my mileage. And then the whole runner's world running log thing, I don't know if anybody else kept their mileage on that. I did. They got rid of that, so now I got to come up and find a different place to keep my my mileage once I start getting my mileage up. I think what has happened is that I have a problem with number three, valence. And I got to figure out a way to make running the marathon a reward in itself, and you know, and achieving that goal and having it be rewarding and having that reward have value. I've run between 26 and 28 marathons. I've lost count. A handful of those have been of the ultra distance. I've never bragged about that, but I think in a way I've lost that lure of the finish line, and that reward of finishing a marathon in some ways has that value has escaped me. So I think what I might try to do is try to change that valence a little bit. And what I'm going to do is I've made a decision that I'm going to join a marathon training team. This is an official, it's called Race Team RVA Marathon Clinic. And this will be, believe it or not, the first time I will have ever signed up and joined and spent money for marathon training. I've done it for half marathon training, but I've never done it for regular marathon training. And it's going to be running out of the Shady Grove YMCA, which is really not too far from my house. I mean, I'll obviously have to get up early on Saturday mornings, but this is really what I need to get me past and get me off the sofa in the evenings and get me out there doing those midweek training runs, which is really where the work is accomplished. The reward for the long run on Saturday or Sunday, whenever you do it, is really from doing the work during the week. So this has a couple different programs. And Ryan, thank you very much for the email, as always. I really do appreciate hearing from you. I'll get into the rest of your email right after I talk about what I've decided to sign up for. And then also you made a mention about the 100 miles as the new marathon. But I'm going to try a new program. I'm going to meet some new people. Part of me feels bad about kind of abandoning Ashlyn Tom and Ashlyn Brian, who have been kind of my, and from time to time Ashlyn Bob, who have been my Saturday morning training partners. However, I need something that's a little bit more on the weekend. That's going to bring things a little higher, a little more structure, and to reach my goal for the Richmond Marathon, which is what I expect to run sometime in November. I don't know the exact date yet. I think it might be the 18th. I'm not sure yet. Of November. I did throw this out to Brian to see if he wanted to do it, and I don't think he was ready to make a commitment. Ty Ashland Tom usually is one of the pace runners for the marathon, so he can do a lot of his training on his own. But for first time this is for first time marathoners and experienced marathoners. Anybody that expects to finish between 3 hours and 5 hours and 45 minutes. So I'll be somewhere between the 4:30 and 5 hour is what my goal is going to be, which it always is. Obviously has experienced coaches, and they're all CPR certified, which to me is really the most important thing. Hopefully I'll never need that service. Organized group runs on Saturdays, organized weekday group runs throughout Richmond, which I would be interested in maybe doing one of those a week, getting out of Ashland and going down and meeting a group. Hopefully it's at a time that I can make. It's, you know, at a time in the evening where I can get down there on time. Performance training to improve speed. Technical race shirt. Discounts at local race stores. Let's see. 24-hour training week. Training schedule. 2 long runs along the course of the Richmond Marathon route. And it's only $50, which isn't bad. It doesn't include the race fee. Now, the guy that is running this is Dan Blankenship, and this is the same guy who I was a coach for when I was a 10K coach. Let's see, or was it the Y? I was a half marathon training team coach several years ago at the Patrick Henry YMCA, which is the one in Ashland. And if I recall correctly, Dan Blankenship was the one who organized that, or never met him, but I don't think I ever did. Or maybe he's the one that organized the 10K training team. Regardless of whichever one he did, they were very organized. And so I feel that you're in good hands with this guy, and he's going to take care of folks. And probably the best thing about this program is Team Incognito members are going to be a part of it. Snuggy Bear is actually going to be a coach. And then Kelly is going to be one of the participants. Now, she's faster than me, and I don't believe she's going to be running the Richmond Marathon, but it's going to be nice to go out there, at least for the first day, and know that there are some, you know, a couple familiar faces out there. And then as the program goes on, I would expect to meet some new people and make some new friends. And you know, at age 46, I just turned 46 on Mother's Day, I'm looking forward to making some new friends, because running really brings people together from all different parts of life, different perspectives, and different experiences. And when you have that one thing in common as a runner, you know, sometimes you can learn about other things, broaden your mind a bit. And I'm certainly not opposed to doing that whatsoever. So that's going to be when I'm starting on June 6th. So I'm going to ask for your prayers. As I, they say all you have to do is be able to comfortably run 3 miles to start the program, which I can do because I just did 6 last weekend with Ashland Tom. And I might have to adjust the walk-run ratio to kind of fit the group. And I'll worry about that when the time comes. I'm not going to sweat the small stuff too much. And I can always run slower. And believe me, when I say I have no problem being the slowest one in the group, I'll just carry my iPod with me in case I end up by myself. All right, so let's get back to Ryan's email. And I got a couple others to get to really, this is the whole show is kind of an email bag with some tangents. All right, so back to Ryan's email, Speaking of motivation and running events, I just completed the Calgary Police Half Marathon on Sunday, and this would have been last month. Rachel and I are having a second child in the next month or so, and I wanted to get in one last event before life gets crazier. So that's congratulations to you, Rachel. You and Rachel, that is wonderful. I've been in really good shape lately. Finished in 1:45, just 40 seconds slower than my PR on a somewhat hilly course. And Ryan says, what I'm especially proud of is that I ran 13 minutes faster than my first time running this race 2 years ago with pretty much the same effort according to my heart rate monitor. I've cut about 10 pounds since then, and the reduced pounding on the body has definitely been noticeable. He sent me a news clip. Stay in touch and talk soon, Ryan. He also said he sent me another article in Runner's World about how racing 100 miles has become the new marathon. and he said he's not sure if this makes him want to do any ultras, but he's definitely noticed the trend of people running ultras. Not surprised that there's only 7,000 finishes in the U.S. last year. From your podcast story and interviews, it sounds much more common. He's referring to 100-mile finishes, and yeah, it does, because I guess in some ways, Ryan, some of the folks I interview and interact with on the show, such as Sandy and Alex and some of these others, it just sounds like these 100-mile races are happening all the time and people are finishing. But I guess we got to keep in mind that these races are small and lots of people start, but a lot of people drop. And I don't think I'll ever be able to go that far unless a significant part of it is walking and there's like some kind of 60-hour cutoff, you know, with the overnight allowed. I'd like to be able to try to cover 100 miles sometime, even, but I'm afraid that I would never make a 30-hour cutoff, so that would make me hesitate to register for one of those. But I don't know, you know, how far can people really run? You know, will we ever have a marathon under 2 hours? You know, how fast can people really run? And can they, you know, can somebody do 26.2 miles under 2 hours? I mean, that being close, I don't know. Who knows what the boundaries are. I remember when I first started trying to run past the marathon distance, you know, you kind of wonder what your own personal boundary is, and you don't really know that until you go right up to that place where you think is the farthest, and you go a little farther, you know, beyond the wall, so to speak. So those are very good theories, and you gave a lot of philosophical stuff in your email, Ryan, and I appreciate that, because I ended up making pretty much the whole podcast about it, at least half of it, referenced the expectancy theory, and that gives me a lot to think about for what I'm trying to do. I mean, will I reach my goals? If I do reach them, will I receive a reward? And if I receive a reward, do I value it? That's pretty much the expectancy theory in a nutshell, and that's where I think the gap was that I wasn't sure if finishing the marathon was really a valuable reward anymore. And so that made me rethink it, and so now I'm taking that journey with some different people. I'll say this, like I've said before, my best marathon experience ever was when I ran the Shamrock Marathon with Team Doom, which was a grassroots group that formed in Ashland. We trained together pretty much every Saturday, and all of us ran the race together with the exception of Rodney, and because he had a different time goal for that day. But we trained in the snow, and then we ran it in the heat, and that was still, you know, even though we got a medal, whenever I look at the pictures from that training experience, I almost get a little choked up inside, because that I just recall that being the best marathon experience I've ever had, training and then running the race, because it was with that same group and everybody got along real well. All right, well, I've got a couple other emails, and one has to do with a potential advertiser on the podcast, and the other is Greg's Dr. Smitty, and then a listener, Megan, who has been a loyal listener for several years, but has never written in. So let's get to Megan's email. And it says, hi, Ashland Dave. I've listened to your podcast for several years now, but I've never written in. After your last few episodes and the last year or so in this country, I had to finally email you to thank you. I started listening to your show for the running. I am by no means an ultra runner, but I enjoy running as a workout and plan on running a half marathon in the next year. Your show fast became one of my favorites because of its patriotic messages and support of police. You get it. Police are so often at the least underappreciated and ever increasingly hated. As you've said many times, they put their lives on the line every day and are a target every time they even associate themselves with their work, something that few other professions even have to think about. So as the wife of a police officer, I want to thank you for your constant, unabashed support and being unafraid of the possibility of losing your listeners for saying what you know to be right. Megan from the Cleveland area. Her husband works... We had another email exchange, and she said her husband works in a town outside of Cleveland. Thankfully, in a community away from anywhere that should be affected by any protesting, she says it was interesting to hear and see firsthand the differences in what is reported in the media and what actually happened in regards to the very tame protests we've had here this weekend. Some of my husband's coworkers are on a regional SWAT team and they've been on call, but also in the loop with what is happening downtown. From what they have said, it's been even more tame than is what is being reported. So this is Megan out of the Cleveland area. And Megan, I appreciate the email more than you know, and I'm a very big supporter of police and military. We exchanged some of this information privately, but you know why I'm a big supporter of police. I'm just going to maintain a little bit of privacy, but there is a good reason why I support police and have a lot of inside knowledge of the profession. And police need support. I was just on the internet today, and I saw a video on YouTube that was linked to something else that I got that was sent to me or I clicked on. I can't remember how I found it, but it's like a video from Hampton Police out of Virginia. And what this video is, it's one of these videos where officers stand there and they hold these cardboard signs, and it just kind of gives a message. And you know, police are people too, and most people don't understand that. You know, they bring their own fears to work about what's going on with their family and their own community, and then they're the ones that got to come in and basically keep order in the community while they're at work. And you know, some people put to work 8-hour shifts, some are 10 and a half, some are 12. Some people are on call and get caught out in the middle of the night to come out and work a rape or some other case. And you know, a lot of people don't really understand the sacrifice that a family makes for one person in that family to work in law enforcement, or military for that matter, but kind of focus on law enforcement for this aspect, because I have more firsthand knowledge of that than military. And you know, I've been to several social events where nobody, you know, people don't know my background, and then I hear hear the way they talk about police, and they come from such an ignorant point of view. They have to, otherwise they wouldn't be saying what they're saying. And it really makes me wonder sometimes. And even I'm kind of getting in a little bit too much in my private life here, which is I don't want to do that too much on the show because it's really about running. But Megan, you really did bring out some thoughts. I appreciate your email a whole lot, and I really, really do like hearing from you, even after you've listened to the show for several years. And if anybody else out there wants to email me, you can do that at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. I want to talk about a potential advertiser on the podcast, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because I have not been able to demo this app yet, because frankly, I'm a screw up. I don't have a smartphone where I can put it on there and go out and run with the phone and try it out. I actually tried this last weekend and I couldn't get to work because I didn't press start, and that was my fault. But this is the email I got from Warren Taylor, and this is about myracetimetracker.com. It says, "Hi Dave, my name is Warren Taylor. I started listening to your podcast about 3 months ago. I like how it's down to earth and how it's not a corporate podcast. I would like some information about your advertising rates. I know for listening to previous episodes that you have never had anyone advertise on the show. I am just an ordinary runner that had an idea for a race app, and I think advertising on your show would be a perfect fit. Please go to my website and see what you think. www.myracetimetracker.com. If you think this app would benefit your listeners, please let me know. If not, no hard feelings. I'm still a big fan of the show. Thanks, Warren." Now, Warren, you and I have exchanged some emails, and at this point, you probably think I'm some kind of bum that will never, ever get my act together and try this. And you're right. In some ways, it's hard for me because I don't have a smartphone. However, what I'm going to do, what I've decided to do, is to put this out to the listeners, and I need somebody to try this app out and send me an email privately, okay? So I can read that. I don't want to read it out on the show. So give me your opinion. And it's at myracetimetracker.com. I will link that at ashlanddave.podbean.com in episode 210. And there are people out. The reason I'm putting this out there, Warren, is hopefully you don't disagree with that. It's mainly because there are a lot of listeners to the show are going to be are going to be quicker to check this thing out than I'm going to be able to, and I'm just being honest about that. And if it's a decent product, I'll be happy to promote it on the show. You're right. I've never really promoted anything yet, and I would find that any rates I have would be pretty reasonable for you to get the word out. I do know that the app is $1.99 if you go to the App Store. I don't think that's really too much for something to try out, and I would think that anybody that's willing to do that, you'll get a free podcast. How about that in exchange? So check out myracetimetracker.com. Download that app, check it out, and give me some feedback at ashlanddave@gmail.com so I can have an informed decision when I give an answer to Warren. And Warren, I would think that at this point I would have no problem promoting it, because I'm not really a sellout, but obviously I just promoted it without really knowing about it. I did go on it on my wife's iPhone because we did download it, and I actually had the phone with me. But when I went to start running, I didn't press start. I got caught up talking with Ashland Tom. I had the phone in a little pouch, and I just never got to it. And, you know, what can I say about that? Like I said, I'm kind of a screw-up. So, but anyway, I'll definitely trust the input from other listeners of the show that check it out. And it's mainly an app for... in case you're wondering, if you're listening out there, if you're not, don't know if you want to download it or not, what this does is this supersedes having to sign up at a race's website with all your information and your phone number and whatnot to get texts from the race. Now, from a race organizer, I've found that these things are famously slow and delayed. And what Warren's app does is that you input the distance, you input your event, and it'll post to your Facebook or post to your tweet to your Twitter. Is that right? Post to your Facebook and tweet out on your Twitter account when you hit certain milestones during the race, so people know where you're at if they follow you on Twitter or Facebook on their smart device. And now, while I'm not one that lives with a smart device all the time, my wife does, and so I know a lot about how that stuff works. And in theory, it seems like it would work pretty incredibly and be a lot more accurate and timely than these other things. So what I would like somebody to do is to try it out, run a race, and see if it posts, and let me know. AshlandDave@gmail.com. That's myracetimetracker.com. Thank you, Warren. We're hoping to get a good answer back for you, okay? All right, the last email is from Dr. Smitty. And I've been a little bit out of touch with him. He didn't make it up for the railroad run this year, and I know I didn't even have a report for the railroad run. I wasn't as heavily involved this year. I worked the finish line area, and then, frankly, I could tell I wasn't really needed, so I just kind of cleared up. And that's kind of a whole nother story. That, unfortunately, it was hardly amount of people that ran it the last couple of years were there this year. I don't know what happened with the marketing of it, but a little disappointing with the turnout. But nevertheless, the race directors, Tamara and Paul, did a fine job putting the race on again and ordering up great weather. And so they're to be commended for that. It's always tough to do that run, to organize and direct that race the same year as the Ashland Variety Show, because you're really pulling from a lot of the same sponsors. But I heard from Dr. Smitty, this was back in early May. He ran his first 50-miler, which is awesome. I knew he was going to eventually do it. Actually, he ran 52.5 miles. But what he did is he did the Run for Life, which was April 25th to 26th. It was a 24-hour event ultra run down in Sandy Bottom Nature Park in Hampton, Virginia. He did 14 loops of a 3.7 mile loop. Dr. Smitty said he had three goals going in: 50 miles, 100 kilometers, and then 75 miles. And he said, depending on how he felt, it was going to be the determining factor of how far he went. He writes, "I really wish now I would have gone farther because my legs felt great the next day." Now I got to stop you right there, Greg. You mean to tell me that your legs felt great the day after you ran 52.5 miles? Well, then you should have gone farther, because you, if you can do an ultra, your legs should have hurt. Anyway, I'm just kidding with you. So he goes on to write, "I think the reason I quit was because I walked a lap with my friend where I got really cold and wet. Apparently the weather down there was terrible. Looking back, I shouldn't have walked the lap, but my friend wanted me to. I felt like I was getting hypothermia and I was shivering. The final lap, I changed clothes and was warmer, but mentally had checked out and the trail was getting pretty bad with conditions. Christy, the girl living in Ashland, completed 92 miles. My friend Steve hit 133.25 miles and a new course record. Greg says he'll probably run this event again next year. Just comment on a few things. One of the people on Greg's team, Christy, apparently moved to Ashland, and I'm not sure if I talked about this or not after the graveyard. I actually met her at the finish line of the graveyard because she was crewing a friend. So she's moved up to this area. Hopefully she's found some ultra people to run with. If she can finish sit 92 miles, that's somebody that, unfortunately, not because of desire, but I just won't ever be able to run in the same group with. So hopefully she's found a group. And then Greg's friend Steve, I wish I knew his last name. He's actually kind of an elite runner. I think he's the one that, if I'm not mistaken, Greg, you're the one that didn't you crew for him at Western States. So new course record of 133 miles plus in 24 hours is just simply incredible. Greg writes on, they spent a week in Asheville, North Carolina, had a blast. The kids stayed at home. He and his wife tried to hit as many breweries as possible and sample as many beers as possible. They ended up trying 55 different beers at 8 breweries. All right, my hat's off to you there. I would have been hungover like a champ. Anyway, Greg said they stayed downtown within walking distance, and then he went trail running one day on the Mountain to Sea Trail that travels 900 miles from the mountains of Tennessee to the Outer Banks. He ran 2.5 miles up a mountain and thought he would pass out. Then they did a pub cycle where, the people pedal the cycle and drink. And Greg says he also liked the last podcast on law enforcement. He writes, I think every American should listen to it. It scares me sometimes. And Greg, I tell you, that really makes me feel good, man. Thank you. He writes on, it scares me sometimes to see how the world is changing in such an undesirable way. I used to think the people that move out to the mountains to get away from civilization were crazy, but now I'm starting to think that they might be onto something. Hopefully enough people will raise their children properly so the worst doesn't happen. It just seems like a losing battle. He says anytime you want to come down for a race or visit, you have a place to stay. And he says, sorry for writing a book. He's going to be running shorter distances this summer and trying to get some speed back. So, Greg, I'd like to talk to you more about your experience running the 50-miler just to see what you thought. And you did a loop course as well, which I did one of those. Greg ran me in and crewed. Was a pacer for me when I did my first 50-miler up in Northern Virginia during one of the North Face Challenge races. And, I've beat this dead horse a lot, but I'll take another swing at it. This is the one where I injured my feet so bad where I had to go to the hospital. And, it was funny because Greg is taller than me and has longer legs, but when we were walking, I was able to walk faster, and I could hear him kind of skip to catch up to me, and I kept wondering why my feet hurt so bad. And when I got to the finish line, I took my shoes off, and my bottoms of my feet were all bloody, and then I took my socks off and realized what had happened. That's when I realized that I was I was pretty messed up. And Greg was there, but he made sure I finished and got me in under the cutoff. So my first 50-miler would be a success, and I'm glad his was as well, and it's always good to hear from you. So that was the email bag section of the show. We got pretty much a whole show out of it for this time around. I'd like to thank everybody who came back and didn't give up on me and came back and listened to this episode of the show. I really do value the listeners of the show. I've had a difficult time since November with motivation. I really have. I've had some other personal issues that I've been dealing with that aren't really an excuse, but it's just part of the reason why I've had some motivational problems getting out there and running again. I envision myself as a runner. I mean, when I sit in my garage and I look up at the race bibs I have up on the wall and I look at the medals that are hanging Those are obviously all rewards that I had, I valued at some point in time. Somehow I got away from that, and I'm not really sure exactly what it is. I mean, our virtual running group, Team Incognito, has kind of started to split. We don't really see each other that much anymore, and that was a source of a lot of motivation for a long time. And we got together a couple weeks ago for, I guess it was dinner and drinks, and it was really nice to see everybody. And as a result of that, I did get inspired to join the this RVA Marathon Training Group, which I'll be able to see a couple people from Team Incognito, at least at the beginning of the training. And who knows, maybe I'll even be in John Snug's running group. I think he's doing a 5-hour group. I'm not sure. I'd like to be able to run a little faster than that, but you know, you can always do that on race day. You can run faster if you want. I've made this decision. All I gotta do is pay my $50, which I plan to do before the 31st, because that's when the price goes up, and hopefully that will inspire me to get out there. My wife has not been nagging me, because we don't like to use the word nagging, but you know, she's asked me, you know, almost asked me every day, "You gonna run today? You gonna run after work today?" I said, "Well, you know, I'll see how I feel when I get home." And I will say this, though, I in some ways I haven't missed the running, because it's so nice to be home to spend time with my daughter and take my dog for a nice walk and do some things in the afternoon. We actually planted a garden this year for the first time in many years, and it's been fun to deal with that. And this getting home and switching clothes out real quick to get out there on the road, to get back in time to get showered, to eat, is a pattern I got to break out of. I don't know why I got so fixated in that pattern. It really, you know, my wife said, you know, we can eat later if you need more time. And I think I just need to not be so regimented, maybe. And so there's several different things I've been trying to look at to find out what has been preventing me from starting another plan. And I think I just needed a little push from behind. And believe me when I say I have no problem being humbled and training with people who are either out there for the first marathon or have virtually no experience, because I don't really think of myself as somebody who knows a whole lot about it. I just know how to get to the finish line, because I'm basically a stubborn son of a bitch. I mean, that's really the bottom line. This is Ashland Dave, and I'll be back out soon with another episode of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. And hopefully you will come back to ashlanddave.podbean.com and download the next show, or go to iTunes and search Running in the Center of the Universe or Ashland Dave, and you should be able to find the show there if you did not find it there. And I do like feedback. Positive feedback is always appreciated. Negative feedback is deleted. And you can do that at ashlanddave@gmail.com is the email. And then, of course, if you want to go over to iTunes and do a review there, that helps somehow get your podcast up to the front of the line or something. I'm not really that concerned about that, but if you go on there and want to do an updated review, that would be pretty cool for me to read. So, this is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.